a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
The South Dakota Senate Transportation Committee will come to order. I want to welcome everyone that is here this morning and those of you that are listening to us on the internet. I first of all just want to remind everyone to please put your cell phones on silence out of courtesy to those that are going to be testifying and also to those that are in the audience. And I'm in the process of turning mine off.
Who finds the chairman?
Yeah. He's the only one that can give an exception. With that, I'll have the secretary call the roll.
Senators Krebs.
Here.
Lucas. Monroe.
Here.
Amdahl.
Here.
Otten.
Here.
Ewing.
Here.
Valley.
Here.
A quorum, Mr. Chair.
We have a quorum. The chair would entertain a motion on the minutes as they are written in your book.
So moved.
Been moved by Senator Amdahl, seconded by Senator Otten to approve the minutes as they are written in the book. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. Minutes are approved as written. I'm going to remind those that are planning on testifying today to please sign in at the podium there so that the secretary can get your name correct. Also, this morning, I'm going to introduce the pages. If go ahead and step up to the mic there and introduce yourself, and then tell us what you're going to do with the rest of your life after you leave here.
Well, my name is Mitch Rave. I currently live in Baltic, South Dakota, and I plan on pursuing a political science degree at the University of South Dakota.
Thank you. And you want to grab this mic here and just tell us who you are and what you're going to do with the rest of your life.
I'm Victoria Murphy. I'm from Del Rapids, South Dakota, and I plan on going to Drake University in Des Moines, Iowa to pursue political science.
All right. Thank you. I'm also, it seems like that's the route we're going here. Remind those, if you do have something to hand out, please give it to one of the pages and they will distribute it to the members of the committee. Anyone that is going to testify this morning, remember that you have to have a lobbyist badge, or if you want to speak for yourself, anyone can testify before a committee if you're just representing yourself. You just cannot represent another organization or a group. With that, anything from the committee? We're going to take the bills in order as they are in printed on the agenda. I want you to make sure last night when I was reviewing the bills, I found out that in our binder was 11:59, not 10:59. So that's why I had, you saw on your desk this morning, the 10:59, so that when we get to it, don't be thinking, geez, I don't remember reading this last night. Well, you didn't because it wasn't in your book. With that, we'll start with Senate Bill 88, and Mr. Secretary, please introduce yourself and proceed.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Darren Berquist, Secretary for DOT, and I'm here today in support of Senate Bill 88. Senate Bill 88 is part of the governor's red tape cleanup effort that all of you are familiar with. As you know, during the governor's term, one of his initiatives has been to eliminate or reduce unnecessary red tape and bureaucracy. One of the ways that he has looked at doing that is identifying and eliminating any outdated, duplicative, or unnecessary state laws or regulations that we may have. Over the past year, in an effort to continue to work on that, the state government, through the governor's office, has used the Westlaw service, which is a legal research service, and to identify every law that we have on the books that has been on the books unchanged in its existing condition for more than 50 years. And that search turned up about 4,000 different statutes, and then all of those statutes were taken. They were dispersed and reviewed by experts on the topic, whether that be through the State Bar Association, through the department, through other various agencies who may deal with the statute to identify whether the statute that was in place was still necessary or needed, or whether it was outdated or could be eliminated. And out of the 4,000, about 60 to 70 were identified as no longer needed to be on the books. And so there are a bunch of different repealer bills out there this session to clean up and eliminate those statutes. And Senate Bill 88 is one of those. Senate Bill 88 would propose to eliminate a statute 32-19-4, which is adopted in 1939, which was 75 years ago. It was last amended in 1953, which was 61 years ago. This statute that was adopted at the time contains a restriction on the use of traction engines on roads and bridges, presumably with the intent to prevent damage to roads and bridges of the time. If you, like me, had no idea what a traction engine was when you read this, the handout shows you an example of one. Basically, a traction engine is defined as any self-propelled, steam-powered vehicle. Certainly, the introduction of this statute back in 1939 made some sense, given the prevalent use of these, both in farming and in road construction. Also, when you think about how the technology that roads and bridges were built with at the time, that was certainly a consideration and a concern. Clearly, there is no need for this statute any longer. I think about the only ones of these that are still running anymore are either museum pieces or show pieces. We don't see these running up and down the road anymore. But more importantly, I think why this statute is no longer needed is we have other statutes on the books that more broadly deal with vehicles and people doing damage to our roads and bridges. So in the event you did happen to have one of these going down the road causing damage, there are other statutes to address that and protect against that. So, Mr. Chairman, this is clearly a statute that's no longer needed, doesn't need to be on the books anymore. We support, the Department supports repealing this statute, and I hope this committee can support that as well. And with that, I'll stand by for questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. Further proponents of Senate Bill 88. Further proponents of Senate Bill 88. Last call for further proponents. Any opponents of Senate Bill 88? Any steam engine buffs? Opponents of Senate Bill 88. Last call for opponents of Senate Bill 88. Okay, we'll open it up to questions. Any questions? Well, I'm not going to let the secretary... And actually, Mr. Secretary, I didn't come up with this question until just now. I was looking at this bill, and I was looking at this engine, and I thought, this is back in 1939, and they were worried about their rural roads and bridges, and things had changed from when it was horse and buggy. You had this heavy piece of equipment, and so they didn't want them on their bridges. Is that analogous to today's time in any way? And I know that's a editorial comment, and you can punt if you want to, because I didn't come up with this question until just now. But I think it is kind of interesting that they back then thought, oh, boy, I don't think our bridges are built for this. We better do something. And we're doing the same thing with a lot of equipment right now. It's getting awfully big, and we're wondering if our bridges can our county and township roads. So anyway, if you just care to comment.
I would, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. And if these were doing editorials, I also have a confession to make. First, when I went and sat down in the gallery, I leaned to the person next to me and said, there's no way Valley lets me out of here without asking a question. I'm sincere in that I had never even heard the term traction engine until I saw this bill. So I have done a little research on this, and it at the time it wasn't a weight issue, and the people who actually know more about these than I do tell me that's a very poor example in the picture that I gave you, because that one has apparently been retrofitted with a rubber wheel, and most of them at the time had kind of spikes and lugs and and things like that, that for traction. And it was the damage, mainly the damage from the spikes and lugs that they were concerned with more than the weight on the structure. And some of that is even referenced in that old statute. So, we don't have those kind of lugs and spikes on our vehicles anymore, which is a good thing. So we don't have the concern with the damage to the pavement. So more of a pavement damage than a weight issue.
Good. Well, you did a good job on that
one. Thank you, sir.
All right. Any other questions by the committee? If not, we'll close the public testimony and open it up for committee discussion and or action. Senator Ewing.
I will make the motion for a due pass.
Second. Been moved, due pass by Senator Ewing and seconded by Senator Monroe. Discussion on that action, Mr. Ewing.
It's just a great bill.
Any other discussion? Senator Krebs.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And for those, I'm going to give a little plug to Prairie Village in Madison. That's my alma mater, but I had the fun times of my college years of helping out at Prairie Village, and this is where you get an educational opportunity to see a lot of these in action and the steam threshing. And I was parking the cars and the events on my horseback. We rode horseback and parked the cars to make it more authentic feeling for those attending the event, but it was always enjoyable to see this equipment and the history along with it. So go check out Prairie Village sometime in Madison. You'll see some of these traction engines. But I did not know they were called traction engines and referred. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Any other further discussion? Okay. The motion is a due pass motion on Senate Bill 88. Those in favor say aye. Those opposed say nay. Secretary, call the roll.
Senators Krebs?
Aye.
Lucas?
Aye.
Monroe?
Aye.
Amdahl?
Aye.
Otten?
Aye.
Ewing?
Aye.
Valley?
Aye.
Seven ayes.
Seven ayes. Senate Bill number 88 has received sufficient votes to pass. Senator Ewing.
Make a motion to put on the consent calendar.
Second.
It's been moved by Senator Ewing, seconded by Senator Amdahl to put Senate Bill 88 on the consent calendar. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. Senate Bill number 88 goes to the consent calendar on, goes to the consent calendar. All right. Next we have House Bill 1056. Will the proponents of 1056 please come forward and identify yourself? Welcome and proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Deborah Hilmer, Director of the Division of Motor Vehicles. And House Bill 1056 is an act to repeal certain provisions regarding the taxation, the licensing, and regulation of motor vehicles. This bill, again, is part of a red tape review in our process, but the first part of 1056 concerns the repeal of the price listing requirements. If you remember back in 1984 and prior, we always taxed motor vehicles based on the MSRP price. So the manufacturers were required to submit to us price listings, MSRP price, so that we could determine if the correct amount of tax was being paid back in the early 80s. In 1985, we changed the taxing of motor vehicles to being taxed based on the purchase price. And then you received the trade-in, and we expanded it from just new vehicles to all vehicles. And that's why, if you remember, that's why we see the continual growth in our motor vehicle excise tax. So there is no need anymore for them to file the price listings with us. So they're no longer necessary. The second part of 1066 concerns the repealing of licensed agents. And some of you may remember, well, I don't know if Senator Krebs remembers it or not, but back in the 90s, we had a representative that wanted to create licensing agents. And that's before really the rewrite of our system and the internet and the self-service terminal options came along. We never had anybody opt for to become a licensed agent with us. And I think the majority of reason for that is because they were only allowed the percentage, the small percentage, which was not enough to even cover their costs to have somebody to staff an office and buy the equipment and stuff. So we never had any agents opt for coming in. And now with the use of our internet and with the use of the cell service terminals and our 66 county offices that we have, we just don't feel that there's any need for the licensing agent. So we have repealed that within the law. The third part of the bill is just to repeal an outdated municipal provision. The municipal statute was originally passed in 1939, and probably enacted to leave options open for municipalities to put tax motor vehicles. And again, that has never been exercised or used in any type or manner. So, I did talk with LaVon Taylor and visited with her about it, and they were fine with us repealing that particular section. So we would ask for your support on House Bill 1056. I'd be happy to answer any questions at the appropriate time. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Further proponents of House Bill 1056. Further proponents. Further proponents of 1056. Last call for proponents of 1056. We'll move to opponents. Any opponents of House Bill 1056? Opponents of 1056. Last call for opponents of 1056. We'll now move to questions. Any questions? Well, you know I'm not going to let you get away. Are we saying that the license agents were never used, and neither were the municipal law to, they could have had a registration fee to for their community, and neither one of those were used?
Mr. Chairman, to my knowledge, they've never been used.
Wow, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. And I remember when, well, because I've been here forever, but I remember when the license agent was passed, and it was really, Lewis Drug in Sioux Falls, where they wanted to have access to set up as a licensing agent at a Lewis Drug. And the concern was because of all the confidential information that we have within our database, and how do we control that, and how do you make sure that then that information doesn't get out, because they would have access to that. So that's really why we pushed for doing the internet and the self-service terminals, because then you're in control of your own information. You're the only one that can access that stuff. So we think we have much better options than the licensing agents offered us. So
my second question is in section 4 there, it talks about the rules. Were there any, do you know if there are any rules written? Because since I'm on the rules committee, I just want to, if we're not going to have the law, we just as well dump the rules too. So if there are rules, you may want to check and just make sure that we might not need those. And maybe none were written. I don't know.
Mr. Chairman, that's a good question, and I'll check it. But I do not think there were any rules that were ever written for that. But I will check that to make sure.
Okay.
Okay.
Any other questions? Seeing none, we'll end public testimony and we'll move for committee discussion and or action. Senator Lucas has moved to pass on House Bill 1056, and Senator Krebs has seconded that motion. Discussion on that motion. Mr. Lucas.
I think it's all been covered well, and I did appreciate the question about eliminating rules.
Good. Seeing no further discussion, the motion on the floor is do pass on House Bill 1056. Those in favor say aye. Those opposed say nay. Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Krebs.
Aye.
Lucas.
Aye.
Monroe.
Aye.
Amdahl.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
Ewing.
Aye.
Bally.
Aye.
7 ayes.
House Bill 1056 has received a majority vote of the committee and will move to the floor. Senator Ewing.
Thank you. I would move to put on the consent calendar.
Second.
It's been moved by Senator Ewing to put it on the consent calendar, seconded by Senator Amdahl. Those in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. House Bill 1056 goes to the floor on the consent calendar. We're going to proceed to House Bill 1059. Please double check that you are looking at 1059. 1159 had been placed in your booklets, so we're on 1059, and we passed out new bills this morning, so make sure you are all following on 1059. Will the proponents of 1059 please come forward? Introduce yourself and proceed. Welcome.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Deborah Hilmer, Director of the Division of Motor Vehicles. Again, this is basically a cleanup of a issue that has been lurking, I think, out there for a number of years, and we decided it was time to probably correct the language and make it clear for future directors, so they didn't have to remember all of the past doings of this. But mass transit vehicles are purchased really in several different ways. If you think about it, like River City Transit, and I'll use them as an example here in Pierre, may purchase some vehicles with their own money. They may purchase them through DOT with federal money. So they're actually being purchased for those organizations that are providing that public transit system in multiple different ways. Well, the law really left a gap in there, because it said that if the vehicle is being used in a commercial endeavor, so that means if they're getting paid or compensated in any way or manner, then they become a commercial motor vehicle. Well, as we all know, transits sometimes charge fees. So the questions always were they a commercial endeavor or were they not? Were they exempted, or when they did that and received payment, did it pull them out of that exemption? So what we basically did is we pulled them out of this section of 32542, which is basically a catch-all for cities, counties, townships that are exempt, as well as Indian tribes, Indian schools, fire departments, those types of vehicles. We pulled this specific statute out and put it into its own statute, so that if the vehicles are purchased with federal funding, or they're purchased with the city of Deadwood, is another one where they do transit and they were buying some with federal funds and some with their own funds, that it didn't really matter if they're being used in the mass transit system. So it basically exempts them from the licensing fees as well as the excise tax. So basically we're making it equitable so that everybody in those types of businesses are being treated equally. And so we would hope that you would support that. And I'm sure there's some others that would like to testify on the bill as well. So, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Further proponents of House Bill 1059. Welcome.
Good morning. I'm Bob Miller with the Dakota Mass Transit Association. And my real only mission, and this is a surprise to the department, was to tell you, the committee, how much we appreciated their work this summer. They got a hold of us right after session last year, and we started working on this little problem to get it straightened out. They brought us in from the get-go. We're all in agreement. It's a nice piece of cleanup legislation, and the industry is pleased with it. And I want you to know how pleased we were with the cooperation from the department. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Further proponents of House Bill 1059. Further proponents, House Bill 1059. Last call for proponents of House Bill 1059. Move to opponents. Any opponents of House Bill 1059? Any opponents? Or 1059. Last call for opponents of House Bill 1059. Seeing none, we'll open up to questions. Any questions? Senator Lucas.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question for Deb Hilmer. Show me the connection and that the transit system has, and for support of our roads, if they're not paying excise taxes. Is it just the gas tax or some of their fees they collect? If they charge sales tax there, obviously that would go to the general fund.
Mr. Chairman, I don't know if I can maybe show you that. We've talked with them about what we charge for the licensing. I mean, we charge a $4 fee, plate fee, which really doesn't even cover the cost of our plate. So, I mean, that's something that we need to address. We didn't want to do it in this particular bill because that's really something the department can set. So I think that's something that we need to look at for them. They do pay fuel tax. They are not exempt from the fuel tax. that is used in those vehicles. So they do pay for some use of the roads and highways, but they are exempt from the motor vehicle excise tax, and they do only pay the license plate fee, which is for the actual plate, which right now is $4. So.
Go ahead.
Then if I pay my $2 to ride the shuttle, obviously I don't pay any tax. Do they remit sales tax included in fees that are charged to ride shuttles?
Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure I can answer that question. Perhaps maybe Mr. Miller could respond to that, okay, if they do, because I'm not positive.
Okay. Mr. Miller, please.
Mr. Chairman, Bob Miller, the only time a transit organization would be involved with no sales tax situation would be that one that would be owned by a local government, would be owned by a city, or owned by a county. Otherwise, they're subject to sales tax, and of course, the federal gas tax or the state gas tax.
Just a quick question while you're here. Has that ever been discussed that, the local transit, because they may be competing with, in some sense, with a local taxi or whatever. Has that ever been discussed that they should pay either excise or, license and registration fee?
Certainly, Mr. Chairman. We talk about all the time about the cost of the license, for instance.
Pardon?
The cost of the plate, which is, not much. And we talk about that needs to be increased. The industry agrees to that. And we will work with the department on that as well. And if it's a privately owned business, if it's not a governmental organization or a nonprofit organization, of course, then it's subject to any normal business taxes that might be in existence too, including income tax.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Further questions by the committee? Further questions by the committee? Seeing none, we'll close the public testimony and open it up to discussion and or action on House Bill 1059. Senator Omdahl.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move do pass.
Then move do pass by Senator Omdahl, seconded by Senator Monroe. Mr. Omdahl, any comments on that motion?
I think it's pretty self-explanatory. I think they did a good job on this. I think we need to go forward with this, so appreciate it.
Any further comments? Seeing no further comments, the motion on the floor is do pass on House Bill 1059. Those in favor say aye. Those opposed say nay. The Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Krebs?
Aye.
Lucas?
Aye.
Monroe?
Aye.
Omdahl?
Aye.
Auten?
Aye.
Ewing?
Aye.
Valley?
Aye.
Seven ayes, Mr. Chair.
House Bill 1059 has received favorable consideration by a majority of the members.
Move to put it on consent.
Senator Auten has moved to put it on the consent calendar. Is there a second to that?
Second.
Seconded by Senator Krebs to put House Bill 1059 on the consent calendar. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. House Bill 1059 goes to the Senate floor on the consent calendar. We will now move to House Bill 1060. Will those in favor of House Bill 1060 please come forward and make the presentation?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Rosie Yeager. I'm here for the Department of Revenue. I'm their attorney, specifically Deb Hilmer's slave. I thought I'd give her a break this morning, so I'm going to take over for her on the military bill. This bill was assigned to us last year. We got questions on the whole military specialty plates system. And essentially, I went in and started looking at it this summer. And for lack of a better phrase, I found a disaster. Every time they added a plate, they added its own statute that was supposed to cover everything that was ever going to happen to that plate. They would miss things. There were things that were in some plates and not in others. essentially there were 18 statutes regulating 9 plates, or 16 different military plates. It was a mess, to say the least. I literally had to make myself a spreadsheet to figure out what statutes required what. So this bill, the main goal of the department was to keep it as status quo as possible, while making it an easier system to follow and filling in the blanks where there were many, such as what happens if you transfer your plate from one vehicle to your new vehicle. We didn't have anything for that at all. What happens if you hit a pheasant driving home one day and your plate's destroyed? We didn't have anything to deal with that. That's all taken care of in this bill. In addition, we added some definitions here in the first section, such as veteran, owner. For example, an owner didn't have, you didn't have to own a car to get a military specialty plate. So we thought we'd kind of change that, make it so you at least had to have a car to put the plate on. This one was amended over in the House, and I just wanted to walk you through a couple of those amendments. The first one is on Section 4, Subsection 2. When we were looking at this, like I said, our goal was to keep it status quo. We had some miscommunication and took out the United States Veteran Administrative K Award in the initial draft. That is now back in. It is not tied to the vehicle allowance, which it was previously, because it's our understanding that you could really never get a administrative K and the vehicle, like you couldn't get the vehicle allowance without administrative K. So we take care of that with just the administrative K award. The second change on this page is in subsection one, actually, and that's the National Guard that was amended in the House as well. Previously, it said South Dakota National Guard member. Now, as long as you can meet the general requirements for a military specialty plate and you're a guard member in a different state, we'll give you a guard plate. The other thing that I wanted to point out here on page 5 of the bill, Section 6 and Section 7 keep our fees exactly the same way they were. So those plates that were exempt from the registration fees before are still exempt. Everything is going to stay the same on fees. The other plates pay their registration fees plus an additional $10 fee for that plate. The other major change we made, when we first initially started this summer, we were approached by the Disabled American Veterans to take away the disabled veteran parking. Upon further study, they've kind of determined they want to look at that a little bit more. So we had it originally drafted to make it so they couldn't park in those disabled veteran spots. It was amended in the House to make it so they still can. So they'll still be able to park in those handicap parking. Section 15 just changes the cross-reference. The department asks that you support this bill. We really think that it maintains the status quo while adding in those additional statutes that I mentioned. And we ask for your support, and I will stand by for further questions.
Thank you. Further proponents of House Bill 1060. Further proponents. Welcome. Please introduce yourself and proceed.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Steve Harding. I'm the Deputy Secretary for the Department of the Military. And I can't add really anything more than what's already been said, but the Department of Military does support this bill. It's definitely an improvement. And the Department of Revenue and the Division of Motor Vehicles worked very closely with our department. And I have to admit that they provided the horsepower, we provided the technical expertise, and really made this a good piece of legislation. So I would urge your support, and thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. Further proponents of House Bill 1060. Further proponents of House Bill 1060. Last call for proponents of House Bill 1060. We'll move to opponents of House Bill 1060. Any opponents of House Bill 1060? Last call for opponents of House Bill 1060. We'll now open it up to questions by the committee. Any questions by the committee on House Bill 1060? Senator Lucas.
I have a question probably for Deb Hilmer. The license plate revolving fund, is that just used then to pay for the extra cost to put the emblems on, or is that used for other purposes?
Please identify yourself since you...
I will, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Deb Hilmer, Director of the Division of Motor Vehicles. Senator Lucas, yeah, the license plate revolving fund, when you pay for your license plate fees, 2.5% of what you pay goes into the license plate revolving fund. It really pays for the manufacturing of all of our plates. So the $10 that they pay for that additional plate goes into that fund to help pay for the expenses of making those specialty plates. So, yes.
Follow up?
Is it an actual plate or is it just an emblem that goes over the plates that are made at the prison?
Mr. Please. Chairman, Senator Lucas, it is a special plate. It's made at the prison. They actually, because the if you look at the veteran and the active duty plate, you can actually put your branch of service on, and you can even put the conflict that you served in. You can put both of those on. So we have an application form that allows them to select, and then the plate order is sent to Prison Industries. We do that once a week on Thursday. And then the plate's mailed directly out to the applicant. So we did just make a change and added Lebanon to that list of selection because we had somebody that had served in Beirut. So we worked with the Veterans Administration and had them go through that listing again. And Lebanon was added for that recognition. So we're able to work with the Veterans Administration to keep those plates up to date in their selection of what they want. So,
Further questions by the committee? Seeing no questions, we'll close it to public testimony and open it up for discussion and or action on House Bill 1060.
Mr. Chairman?
I think Mr. Monroe?
I don't care who does.
Senator Otten.
Move do pass.
Senator Monroe, you want to second that?
Second.
All right. Been moved by Senator Otten, seconded by Senator Monroe to a do pass motion on House Bill 1060. Comments on that motion, Mr. Otten?
Just an excellent update.
Further comments on House Bill 1060? Senator Omdahl.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I always like to, I guess, going down the road and do a lot of travel, and I always like to see those veterans plate because it kind of reminds us that freedom isn't free, and I think this is a good thing. So I just wanted to add that comment.
Thank you, Senator Omdahl. Any further questions or comments on House Bill 1060? Seeing no further discussion? The motion on the floor is do pass on House Bill 1060. Those in favor say aye. Those opposed say nay. The secretary will call the roll.
Senators Krebs.
Aye.
Lucas.
Aye.
Monroe.
Aye.
Omdahl.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
Ewing.
Aye.
Valley.
Aye.
Seven ayes, Mr. Chair.
House Bill 1060 has received a majority vote of the committee and will move to the floor. Senator Ewing.
Motion to put on consent.
It's been moved by Senator Ewing to place it on consent and seconded by Senator Krebs. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say nay. House Bill 1060 moves to the Senate floor on the consent calendar. Thank you, everyone. We did these bills in mock time, and I appreciate everyone's due diligence here, and I think... Senator Omdahl made a comment that made me think. I think that is something I hadn't thought of, that when you're driving down the road and you see those military plates, it reminds us of those that have fought to keep us to be free and to be able to travel down that road. So appreciate that comment. With nothing else to come before the committee, we will not meet on Friday, and we will not meet on Monday. So we will meet on next Wednesday, which is a week from today. And we are going to take up texting on that day. There are two texting bills. One is Senate Bill 13 and one is Senate Bill 179. So if you know someone that wants to speak their mind on texting, that is the day we're going to do it. Those are the only two bills we will have. So with that, if there's nothing else to come before the committee, Senator Lucas has moved we adjourn. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Senator Otten. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say nay. Motion passed. We are adjourned.
Yes, I hear.